All the festivals start now. Julan Yatra is there, Balram Jayanti, Guru Purnima. So many festivals are there right now. And since yesterday, we are celebrating this festival of Ganesh Chaturthi. We were not allowed to sleep last night because Ganesh ji and his devotees both could not wait till he came to their houses from yesterday only. Actually, it is supposed to be today, but they were all noise and festivities from yesterday. And also for devotees, we are celebrating a lot of festivals. And personally, in my life also, we had very good occasions in this last month. Many, many nice devotees visited our home to bless us. And one such devotee was His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. We all know Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder of the ISKCON temple. And he, Giriraj Maharaj, is one of the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And he came to our house end of August, sometime around Balram Jayanti. And we were having a lot of discussion. And Maharaj was sharing with us some of his realizations about what is the situation of religion going on in India. So naturally, when we talk of religious things in India, the main thing that comes to our mind is, some devotees were there, they were saying, "Oh Maharaj, yes, there was Ramayana and Mahabharata serial. You all remember? Maybe when you all are very small. How many of you all watched it?" Most everybody. Not everybody, but anyway, it seems it was the most popular serial of its time. To the extent that when the serials were going on Sundays, there used to be traffic, I mean, free traffic available. So if you are in a hurry to go somewhere, you could choose those hours because there would not be any traffic. Why? Everybody was sitting at home in front of the television watching these serials, you know. So it was a very popular serial among that. And it felt very good to hear that. Why? Because in a day and age when religion is on its decline, still there are people who worship Ram and Krishna. So felt good to know that it is still the most popular. No matter how many heroes come and go, actresses come and go, still who is the most popular hero? God. Whether you call him Allah, Jesus, whatever, but he is still the most popular, right? So he was telling us that how these Ramayana and Mahabharata serials, they had done it quite accurately. Most of the incidents were chronologically shown nicely and all. However, there was some Mayavad tinge, little bit here and there, but overall it was nice. But what happened after the serial was over? The popular actors, Ravan, Sita, Krishna, Bharat, Ram, they all stood for elections. You knew that? In different constituencies, you know, they all stood for election. Why? Because they wanted to utilize their popularity. That, oh, people have liked our acting, so now let's, you know, capitalize on that. And what we should do? Get votes and get a chair in politics. Everybody wants to do that. So they all stood. Ravan was a Gujarati, so he went and stood in somewhere in Gujarat constituency. Sita stood somewhere else. And Bharat stood somewhere else. And our poor innocent Indians, you know, because they still love Ram and Krishna, they voted for them. And they were elected also. So much for religion. That on the name of religion, politics, the game of politics was taken off. And they all became like that. So Maharaj was laughing that this is the value of religion that is there in India today. You do it. Otherwise, what would have happened? By doing the role of Ram Krishna, the actors who acted, their lives would have changed, no? That they would have become so sattvic and pure and all. But as soon as the serial shooting would get over, what they would go and do? Go off stage and smoke some cigarette or take some drink and all. So they would say, "Where is Krishna?" "Aray, he's drinking behind, you know." Or like, "Where is Ram?" "He's smoking behind the curtains, you know." Like that was the type of things which was not like Ram and Krishna, but the actors who acted like that. And we heard that after the serial was over, we see in the Ramayana that the four brothers, they were so cultured people, you know, that when Ram asked Lakshman that, "Do you remember this jewelry of Sita which was found down, thrown by the monkeys? I mean, thrown at the monkeys." So what did Lakshman say? "Okay, my dear brother, I don't even remember because I never looked at Sita. I only looked at her feet. That much was my awe and reverence for her." And same for the other brothers. But after the serial was over, it seems that Bharat and Sita had a love affair. You know, the people who acted like that. So all this sort of nonsense was going on under this thing of Ramayana and Mahabharata. So Maharaj was laughing and he was telling us, we were remembering how that in olden days, in villages, they also used to have dramas. In one village in Andhra Pradesh, Srila Prabhupada quotes that they had done on Narsingh Jayanti. Narsingh Bhagwan, everybody knows, right? Prahlad and Narsingh. They did a drama on Narsingh Dev, and the person who became Hiranyakashipu and the person who became Narsingh Dev, they so much got into the role that actually when the time came that Narsingh Dev appeared out of the pillar and Hiranyakashipu was taken on the lap, Narsingh Dev became so angry that he actually tore apart the person who was Hiranyakashipu and he died, that Hiranyakashipu. So it was not that they had some enmity or something. They must have been best of friends, but he felt very bad. But he got so much into the part of the role. He was into it, you know. He was not playing it ritualistically. And there was another drama later on, which was done where the drama was on Ramayan. And the scene was of Dasharath and Ram and, you know, Ram being banished to the forest and all. And Dasharath became so afflicted in separation from Ram that we all know that he cried. So in today's day, if Dasharath had to cry, he would have to put a lot of glycerin and, you know, to cry. But what happened? That Dasharath, he cried so much and he got so much into the mood of separation that he actually left his body in separation from Ram, that villager, you know. So it was so pure and it was so real that actually these things happened. It was not done ritualistically. But nowadays, what do we see? Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever profession we do, whatever relationships we have, everything is contaminated by the disease of ritualism. You agree? We'll take a few examples. You go to some social functions and all. So in olden days, people used to bow down and take the dust of the people. Now what people do? They not even half, quarter bow down, you know. It's understood that I'm offering, you know, please bless me. So then the people who are giving blessings also, they quarter give their blessings. They don't get full blessings. If you take full blessings, you get full blessings. If you just do little, you get little. Whatever you do, you get back. Also, sometimes we go to colleges ritualistically. Why? Because we don't carry books. We carry cell phones with us. How many of us carry big bags of books and all? Rarely we all do. Because we want to go to college only. Naam ke liye. Ritualistically, we don't really mean. Even we go on the flight and air hostesses, you know, good morning, sir, good evening, sir, smiling and all. Is that real smile? Maybe she had a big fight at home with her husband and came. But she still has to put up that plastic smile. Why? Because it is her ritual. It is her duty. She has to do that. If she is not, then what? She'll be sacked. You have to smile as an air hostess. That is also done ritualistically. My father-in-law was sick last year. And so many relatives would come to meet, you know. How is he, this, that, and they would say, if you need anything, please tell us. Any food, any money, whatever is required, any emergency, we are there. So one day it actually happened that our car had broken down and, you know, nobody was there. There was no someone to get the food from anywhere and there was some money urgently required, you know, to make the payment before the operation and all. So we just called up a relative and he said that car is broken down and, you know, not possible and all. Can you please get this much money immediately? You see, actually, you know, today the key is not there, the checkbook is not there, this. Then we called up another relative. Can you send some food? Really, you know, but, you know, my gas is not there today. Some reason that we can't. So did they actually mean when they said that if you need anything, we are there? When we needed it, nobody was there. Actually, there was nobody. We had to go fasting that day. Nobody was available. Then some devotees came and they brought and they gave us, please take. They came and helped us out in every way. But that was all just lip service. Just to be said. You have to say it to make people feel good. So they said it. Even if you see so many of the ceremonies which we have, in marriages, in death ceremonies, we know so many mantras are chanted, right? In olden days, marriage, they had a big yajna kund and, you know, people would go around it and all. Then as days went, yajna kund started reducing. Small. Now we have marriages in AC hotels. And such as you have to look for the yajna kund. Maybe so small or something, you know, small fire is going on and people are just going around it. And actually the bride and bridegroom might be thinking of what they are going to do after they get up from here. And that pandit also is chanting some mantras. You don't know whether which mantras, some Sanskrit incantation is going on. whether it is death ceremony, birth ceremony, marriage ceremony, all same mantras, thoka thok, you know. Who understands, who is bothered to hear also attentively? Nobody. So doesn't make a difference to the party, doesn't make a difference to the priest. So what difference? Even in death ceremonies, while the body is being burnt and all, people are laughing behind, they are having their smoke and whatever. Nobody is anything serious about it. Nothing means to them anymore. Even you put mehndi, mehndi in the olden days was supposed to be put, it is a sign of auspiciousness. It's one of the auspicious ingredients. But today it is simply a competition. Till where I put mehndi? Here. Or till where I can longest and, you know, maximum mehndi I can put. So there is no significance attached to it. Where is the auspiciousness? It is only for show off or design and all those type of things. So even relationships, when we see, you know, sorry, but tomorrow you do the same thing again. Thank you. But anybody means it. All these thank yous and sorries, millions can be said, but you do it again. One sorry means you should not do it again. But we say sorry so many times means we don't mean that sorry. Otherwise we would not have to say it so many times. One sorry should be sufficient. So that is why we actually, the list can go on endlessly. We can give so many examples. I'm sure each of you can give so many examples. But if we come down to the definition, that what is a ritual? So I just read it up. It says a ritual is a repetitive, routinely performed act done on a regular basis. It's a repetitive, routinely performed act which you do on a regular basis. Now, there are some rituals which we all do every day. Like, we all brush our teeth? I hope. We all bathe? I hope not like Western countries, deodes. That's enough, you know, so that I don't stink. We all take a bath, right? We all do. We all pass. We all eat. We all do. These are all rituals, if you go to see. You don't have to think about it in the morning. Hey, now what I'm supposed to do? You get up and you routinely land up doing. Get up and straight you go to the bathroom. You take a brush. You take soap, wash yourself. It's routine. You don't even have to think. It has become such a routine in our lives. But when we see that all these things, sleeping, eating, these things are going on, do they have any value? It's a ritual, you know, and we don't like rituals. So why do rituals? Do rituals have any value? Of course they have value, right? Rituals have their own values. Why? Because it is not just, when we understand the meaning of it, it does have value. When we bathe, in fact, it not only has value, it has scientific basis. Why do we bathe? Because when you sleep, your body gets heated up. All your organs are working hyper fast, because when you are working, organs can't work so much. But when you are resting, organs have the time and energy to work. So they work. By the time you get up in the morning, all the big junk food which you have had in the night gets digested. Who did all that work? So the body gets very heated up. When, like, you work any machine for a long time, if you use the computer a long time, it gets heated up. You watch the television for a long time, heated up. So when your body is working for a long time, it gets heated up. So we bathe to cool it down. There is a scientific basis to it. Also, when you brush your teeth, it's to remove all the bacteria in it. There's another ritual which people used to do, now they no more do, watering the tulsi. They water the plant. Why? One is that some houses, they do naivedya, they do offering and all. But also, tulsi plant, it's a plant. And we know, plants are very healthy to have around in the house. In fact, it protects us from very powerful electromagnetic radiation, which is there from so many gadgets which we have nowadays. Mobiles and other things. It protects us from all those radiations. Also, there are rituals like Surya Namaskar. In fact, this was the month of Ramzan. Our brothers and sisters, you know, Muslim brothers and sisters, they very strictly observed this month of Ramzan, and they did their namaz and everything. So we know for offering namaz, there are many postures. You bend down, bend up. Even for Surya Namaskar, so many things are there. So what is it actually? The scientific basis is they are all yogic postures which make your muscles, your spine and all very flexible. It is not just like after this you do this and after that you do that. Not mechanical. It has a scientific basis to it. So namaz and all is done for that. Also there was fasting. They fasted. We also fast on Ekadashis. Lot of fasting last few days. Ekadashi, Prabhupada Appearance Day, Janmashtami, now Radhashtami will come. Lots of fasting. So what is fasting meant for? Our doctors tell us that actually body needs rest. 24 hours a day we keep eating, you know. Where to eat? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, in between lunch and dinner, in between breakfast and lunch. Whole day we are eating, eating, eating. There's no rest to our factory. Some rest is required now. So fasting is supposed to be good. That you give some rest. There is some time for detoxification and all that. But what do we believe in? Ekadashi, Dupat Khashi. Ekadashi also we figure out so many things. Ekadashi, how can I not eat pizza, you know? So Ekadashi pizza. Ekadashi dosa. Paneer sabji to I have to have. So some Ekadashi paneer sabji. So we figure out some way or the other that we don't want the factory to get any rest. It should be working on, you know. No hartal is there. So for fasting, also our Christian brothers and sisters, they have confession. Sunday they confess, Monday they sin. Sunday they confess, Monday they sin. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, sin. Sunday again confess. Again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So this goes on. In Sanskrit, this is called Kunjara Shauchavat. What is the meaning? That an elephant, if you all have seen how an elephant takes a bath, he goes to the bank of the lake, very nicely cleans himself. Then he comes out and rolls in mud again. Then again he'll go and take a bath. Again he'll come out and roll in the mud. And again this goes on and on. You'll feel, what's the use, you know? Don't take a bath. Remain dirty only. So that's how you do these type of things, you know, confession. You confess and you sin. You confess and you sin. So what happens? Nothing happens. In fact, our spiritual master, Radhanath Swami, when he was small, he was a small child, because he was from the Jewish tradition, he went with his parents to get baptized. So he asked, when the ceremonies were going on, he asked the priest, you know, that, sir, can you explain me what is the meaning of all this, what you are doing to me? So the priest was shocked, you know. Why was he shocked? He's saying, my child, never ever, I have done hundreds of baptisms, never ever anybody asked me this, so I never thought about it. Nobody asked, so I never thought about it. So this was the way it was going on. So all these things, again as we said, the list can go on endlessly. All these rituals, they can go on. But what happens when you forget the purpose of it? It becomes simply mechanical. You forget why you are doing what you are doing. You can just go on day after day, year after year, lifetime after lifetime, same thing. But you just forget about it. So also usually when we talk of rituals, we attach it to some religious things. These examples which we gave of bathing, passing, eating, sleeping, these are routines, daily routines. But usually rituals is attached to something religious. And what happens? When religious people don't understand the purpose of the ritual, what happens? Sectarian you become. And all these wars and fights and all that take place in the outside world is what? Because of this main disease. That everything you make it into ritual, you forget the spiritual element behind it. If some of us have read about Jesus' life, when Jesus was being persecuted by the Pharisees, what did Jesus tell the Pharisees? He's saying, all you people are abiding by the letter of the law, but nobody is abiding by the spirit of the law. There are two things always, right? There's a letter of the law and the spirit of the law. Okay? So, you're all abiding by the ritualistic things that don't do this, do this, do this. But what is the spirit behind it? You are not understanding it. That is why you are persecuting me. If you would understand it, you would understand and help me in what I am trying to do. But they never understood it. So that is why Prabhupada gives a spiritual definition of what? Of ritual. And what he says, a ritual is a formula which is meant to dovetail our consciousness to the supreme consciousness of God. A ritual is a formula which is meant to dovetail our consciousness to the supreme consciousness of God. Why? Because God has, we all know Vishnu Sahasranam is there. He has 1,000 names. And one of his names is what? Bhavgrahi. Bhavgrahi means that he, grahi means accepts. And he said, no, grahak bhandar. Grahi. That you accept things from there. So, grahi. And what does he take? Bhav. Bhav means feelings and your consciousness. He doesn't accept things. Only if he could accept a thing, take a coconut, take an agarbatti, you know, take a diya. Things are okay, but what is the consciousness behind that you are offering? He accepts that. And several instances he has shown that, right? There's a beautiful song in which he says, Duryodhana ka bhogana khayo, rukha shakha viduragara khayo. Means what? If he accepted things, then what would Duryodhana had the best of things? Did Vidur have good things? He was a poor thing, maid servant's daughter, son. But Duryodhan had big palace. He said, better than my palace is Dushasan's palace. I will offer you that. But Krishna said, why should I accept it? A person accepts food at another person's house when two things are there. If he is hungry, then you accept anywhere. And second is, if you are my friend, neither I am hungry for your food, neither you are my friend. Why should I eat your food? Get lost. That infuriated Duryodhan like anything. That, oh my God, you know, that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. That everything though was okay, but you didn't insult. And he told Krishna that, Krishna, this is not good. I'm warning you, you better eat at my house. You know, better eat like that. So what Krishna, he said, forget it, you know. I'm not going to eat at your house. And he straight went to Vidur's house. So we understand that this is why Krishna is known as Bhavgrahi. And this would not be possible without transforming this ritual into spiritual. Duryodhan was doing ritualistically and Vidur was doing spiritually. So that is why he accepts spiritual. And for Krishna, there is no value for anything else except that. It's like if your parents are there and you want to offer them something. You want to give your father something. But if he's not pleased with what you are giving, then what is the use? Any use? Father will say, I want this. He said, no, I want to give you this. He said, but I want this. No, I want to give you this. So father said, then don't give, yaar. What's the use? That's what we are doing with our Supreme Father. Krishna says, I want this. And no, I want to give you this. But I want this. I'm telling you this. No, no, I want to give you this. So is Krishna going to be pleased? Not at all. It's in fact like offering ghee, which is very valuable. Ghee is very costly, pure ghee, to offering it to ashes. Is there anything will come about? Fire will come? Or it's like putting ornaments on a dead body. You take the costliest ornaments, diamonds and gold and all, and put it on a dead body. Value? No value. So, if we try to understand that the same act can be done, but the purposes can be different. Right? Suppose now we are going to have the aarti ceremony. So, somebody is doing the aarti. So there could be several reasons for what somebody is doing aarti. One person is doing aarti. We had gone to Badrinath this year in summer, and we went on the bank of the Ganga, and there was a beautiful Ganga Puja, very famous aarti over there. You all must have seen on TV or something. They have such a huge lamp, layers of lamp, you know, big lamp over there, and every day one donor is given the honor of being able to do that. And you should see, you know, means many people must be wanting to do. But the day we got the opportunity to watch that, there was a group of maybe a family or friends, God knows what. They had come together and they were feeling so great that we are doing the aarti. Not that because we are doing aarti of Ganga, that all the people around are going to watch. Means they wanted, y'all are watching? Y'all are watching? Everybody see, you know. They are doing aarti, huge circles, you know. And they are watching, everybody is watching or no, that we are doing the aarti. So they were doing aarti for what? Prestige. They wanted it that everybody should look over there. Sometimes, there used to be some times when there was marathon month going on where even Matajis were allowed to do deity worship over here. So sometimes we would get the chance to do aarti. And, you know, we are not good devotees. So sometimes we would think, you know, that nobody would be around, but we would hope that we are getting the chance to do aarti. Hope, you know, Maharaj comes and sees that we are getting to do aarti. I feel nice about it. And I used to think like that. So somewhere that desire for pride and prestige is there so much in all of us. So somebody might be doing aarti for that. Another might be doing aarti for what reason? I'll worship this person so nicely, that someday I can become God. I want to become God. So I'll do nice aarti so I can become God. Third person might be doing aarti for what? See, ha, Krishna, I'm doing aarti. Give me a good boyfriend. I must have some good boy. You know that boy, such a nice bike he has. Just grant me that desire. That's all I want. That's your desire for doing aarti. Somebody might be doing it. Like I heard in South India, there is somebody, some temple, where the person is so rich, he has made a temple, but he has no time to worship. So he has employed a robo. You know what's a robo? It's a machine, you know. So before going to office, he puts on the button and the robo goes, he does tick, tick, tick. Some aarti he does and all. In fact, when I was telling you, some of us were discussing, somebody said in America, they even have robots who clean up their home, bathroom, swimming pools. So they let the machine inside the swimming pool and the robot goes and cleans up the swimming pool. Means why pay a servant or whatever? Labor is very costly there. Just buy a machine and install it and they will do. In fact, they were saying that now they are these wars which are taking place, right? Anytime we know we are on the brink of a war. In fact, today my sister called me up and she said, "Is Chetna there today?" I said, "Why?" So she said, "Nobody gets scared. I'm telling some information. Maybe you all didn't know." Saying few days back, it came in the news that some two terrorists were found, and you know that today it has come red alert in the newspaper that nobody should leave home. The terrorists may be around and beware and all. So I said, "So should I go or not go?" You know, she said, "No, no, you be careful. Is Chetna there or no? Don't go and all." So, you know, we did. So I said, "I think nobody is going to come today. It's okay, you know. We will speak to the friends and the walls and everything. We'll come back." So there, this type of on the brink of war like this, where anytime anything can happen, they are training robots to do wars. Why? So that no loss of life. Huh? You are against war with me. You sit in your office, I sit in my office, press some buttons, and our robots are fighting here. One machine finished, another machine finished. What's the value, you know? It's okay. No loss of life. Nothing happens to me, nothing happens to you. I enjoy with my family, you enjoy with your family. And some people said that the Talibans, they are even training monkeys with machine guns and rifles. So there were photographs in some magazine which she showed me that some 10-15 monkeys with machine guns. So even if you are killed, the monkeys are killed, but still human life is safe. Just see how human mentality works. So either monkeys, robots, whatever, you know. So even fighting, everything ritualistically, you keep on doing all this. But there might be some devotees, like people in our temple. They do aarti for what? Simply because they love Krishna. They want to get themselves purified that, "Krishna, you are doing so much for me, I love you. So I want to glorify you and, you know, do aarti in front of you." There could be many more reasons, but time is short, so we'll carry on. So the highest purpose would be what? Which of the 5-6 which we discussed would be highest? To love Krishna, right? Others are all what? Motivated. You want something, that is why you are doing. So you want to do business with God. You do this for me, I'll do this for you. Okay? Deal? Deal. Done. But that is not what Krishna wants. Again, so Prabhupada said that these rituals actually are supposed to be our vehicles. Like a vehicle, you know, to carry something from here to there. So because Krishna is known as Bhavgrahi, what does the vehicle do? It carries our bhav to Krishna, that, "Krishna, I love you. And how do I show you I love you? If it is your birthday, I want to give you a gift. When I give you a gift, you will know that I love you. Otherwise, I can say, 'Oh, I love you, I love you. I don't do anything for you. I don't tell you I love you. I have nothing to do with you. And I say I love you.' Then is it love? No. If I love you, then I have to show it. I have to give you something. So that way it becomes like a vehicle. On the way, it is a vehicle to give it. In fact, it is like a wrapping paper. Suppose you spend lots of money to get the costliest wrapping paper. I went to a shop, you know, Bombay store. And some of you might have visited Bombay stores. They have the best of wrapping papers, you know. Each wrapping paper costing 200 rupees, 150 rupees. One wrapping paper. So beautiful and ornate. I buy that wrapping paper. And I wrap something in it for you and I give it to you. Here, take this. And you open it. And what is there inside? Stool. And what do you say? Yuck! What is this inside? Best wrapping paper, but what is there inside? Stool. On the other hand, I take newspaper and I wrap gold diamond earrings for you. And I give it to you in a newspaper. You think newspaper, you know, what a gift. But you open it and there's diamond earrings in it. And what do you say? Wow! Diamond earrings. So what would you prefer? A costly wrapping paper with stool in it or newspaper with diamond earrings? Choice is obvious, second one, right? We would all want to get that. So, we understand that this is how we people are offering our rituals, especially in India, the great land of Dharma. All the things which we are simply doing it as a ritual. In fact, most of the Indians do because they feel, agar nahi kiya to Bhagwan gussa ho gaye to. If God gets angry, then what? It has been my dadas, pardadas, parpardadas, parpardadas have been doing it. And if I don't do it, then God might get angry. So I have to do it. Let me just do it, you know. Kya hai na, they started it and that's why I have to continue it. So you feel like doing it. And that's what brings us to a pastime from 10th canto of Bhagavatam, where even Indra, where Nanda Maharaj, he was performing this yagya, Indra Puja, with all the Brijvasis and all doing. And Krishna asked Nanda Maharaj that, "My dear father, why are you performing this?" He's saying, "My child, we have been doing it for many, many long time and you have to do it." He's saying, "Why?" "To please Indra." "Why?" "Because if we don't please him, he will get angry. saying, but why should he get angry? If he's a good person, he should not get angry now. Who gets angry? If he is expecting and you know, you don't fulfill the expectations, he should get angry. But a good person never has any expectations, so why should he get angry? So Krishna taught the Brijvasis how to turn that ritual into spiritual. He said, let's not do Indra Puja, let us do Govardhan Puja instead. So he taught that even after becoming devotees, many of us, many people, they get Ganpati to their house because it's a tradition for a long time. In fact, we know that Ganesh ji is a demigod and Krishna is God with a capital G. So when you are worshipping Krishna, you are watering the roots of the plant. So if Krishna is pleased, all the other demigods have to be pleased, right? If you are the boss and you have many men working under you, if you are pleased, the men better be pleased. Your servants better be pleased. But if you are not pleased, if the servant, you are trying to please the servants individually. But if you are not pleased, then what is the use of pleasing the servants? So devotees, even after understanding this phenomena, some of them get Ganesh ji at home. Why? Out of fear. Okay, hare, if we don't get and Ganesh ji gets angry then. But how can Ganesh ji get angry if Krishna is happy with you? Possible? Not possible. So this Ganesh Chaturthi festival, which has just begun yesterday, such a sacred festival it is that a devotee of the Lord is being glorified. Ganesh ji is one of the greatest devotees of Lord Krishna. So glorifying him is a great honor. Doing aarti, doing puja, worshipping him, it is very wonderful thing. But how do we do it? Most pathetic way. When we were kids, we used to go to see all these big, big pandals that used to be there, Ganesh pandals. On the last day, you know, many people go to take darshan, go here, go there. Oh, I remember one year, we went to a pandal and we go inside and what do you see? Statues of cricket team was there on the stage. So I was looking, you know, 11 people, cricket, this, that, 11, this side. But where is Ganpati, you know? We had to look, so we asked the person who was giving that wap charnamrita, said, bhai sahab, idhar Ganpati kidhar hai? To bole, dekho, dekho, udhar. To just trying to see, could not see. Say, are, udhar, udhar, bat ke andar, dekho. So the bat that fellow had, uske andar there was small Ganpati over there. Small Ganpati there. And next pandal we went, there was a golf, this thing going on. And Ganesh ji was in a golf ball. So we said, so they said that this area, they were celebrating some sports, something. So all sports activities were there along with Ganesh ji like that. Then another year we saw, you know, Ganesh ji on a motorbike. The Ganesh ji in a car. And then sometimes Ganesh ji is dressed like Srinath ji. Ganesh ji is dressed like Durga. Ganesh ji is dressed like Krishna. The more the concoction, the more prize it seems, you know. Okay, how can I make it more innovative, you know? But the originality of Ganesh ji, sometimes you know, these marriage cards, you have to have Ganesh photo on it for auspiciousness. So they write Om Ganeshaya Namah and there's an S. So where is Ganesh? S with two dots means two eyes and the trunk is there. So it's just an S, you know. So where is Ganesh ji? You are completely distorting it. And also, all the 10 days with Ganesh ji is there. What plays around? You feel poor Ganesh. Last year he heard all the latest movie songs. He's not updated of this year's songs. So let me update him. This year's latest songs. So they put on the latest movie songs of this year. And Ganesh has to hear that, you know. He must be, if at all Ganesh is still there, he could tolerate to be there for 10 days. He might be hoping that, can somebody give me earplugs? Enough of it, you know. Like all this goes on. And the best means, and the worst is Visarjan Day. Because 2 years, we come to temple on Wednesday and this road is the Visarjan Day. Visarjan Road. Oh my God. What goes on? You have to just watch it. Walking down from the station to here, all are drunk. Men and women together. All gulal and what clothes and music songs and dancing to it and all completely outrageous. This thing. They'll throw gulal on you also and there's no place to walk and so much sound pollution, noise pollution, not sound, noise pollution. You get a headache just walking from there till here. And this is one festival and another festival like that is going to come. Which one? Navratri the Great. Where we used to stay in our old house, there was a big maidan opposite. And every, all these 12, how many days Navratri goes on? 9 days, no? 10 days, the Dashara is the double bonus which they celebrate. They start, huh? when it is 8 o'clock, you can hear from the window, Ambe Mata ki jai, some Jagadamba Mata ki jai, and so much loud music is played, you will feel, my God, hundreds of people might be there. So you look out of the window, not a soul is there. Only big blaring loudspeakers are there, and they will say, Abhi Ambe Mata ki aarti shuru ho rahi hai, kripaya sab log aa jaiye, but nobody comes, you know. And then the music, that aarti lasts for 5 minutes, and then it goes on, ding, check, something, you know. They will just put on that sort of music, and it keeps playing, and you keep watching, you know. Few people start trickling. By the time it is 11:30, 12, it is jam-packed. And what's going on? What Ambe and what Mata, you know. Which Mata we are talking about? All boys and girls, that's all. Freak out. Working day, not working day. If it's our working day and you tell, ke, please come for satsang program. We are tired, ma'am, you know. We work whole day, 7 days a week. Have pity on us, you know. Too difficult, satsang programs. We cannot come. But all 9 days, after working in their office, they will dance, which is physical activity. Where is the tiredness over there? Nothing, you know, because you like it, you come and do over there. And what happens there? Our hospital gynecologists and all tell us the maximum abortions are during that time. Because it is what? It's bird hunting. You're going to find partners over there. Temporary partners, not permanent partners. Temporary partners, and lot of abortions take place over there. And what happens? So many of the parents also go to see their daughters and sons dance over there. They feel so nice. Just see how my daughter is dancing with so many boys. And my son, you know, like Krishna, so many gopis around him. They enjoy that. What a matter of pity that, what do you say, where is our Indian culture? When I was just going through something like this, I just read on the net a comment by somebody of the latest Miss India show, and they said that, I don't know how right or wrong I might be, somebody had forwarded to me, so I read that this time's Miss India show was an exhibition of topless girls walking on the ramp. Was it true? I really do not know. And somebody had written a comment, which I wrote it down. That person has written that, shame on India. Shame on India that parents applaud their daughters going topless before public. Just imagine. This is India. Mera Bharat Mahan. This is what is India. That parents, who are supposed to be the protectors of the dignity of their children, and you know, you are supposed to, they enjoy obscenity. Not of another's daughter, your own daughter. Like this. And they feel very proud about it. Oh, just see, you know. So what has happened to our culture? Really, it has gone down the drains. In fact, if somebody will appreciate, see some girls with, you know, pleated hair. Most girls don't like to pleat their hair today. Because they feel that open hair might be, people might like it because it is more acceptable to the world. Say, if I pleat my hair and if I wear clothes which cover my whole body, then what people look at and say, hey, Deshi Daru, you know. This is Deshi, you know. This is not good. You have to be modern here. Come on, you know. So orthodox. You are so orthodox. So actually, now India has lost this religious flavor only which it has got. There is no even semblance left to religiosity. The spiritual element is completely eliminated, as you could put it. So even as devotees, I remember 1 year Radhanath Swami gave a lecture that even when we join Krishna consciousness, when we become devotees, we are so enthusiastic, you know, that we offer long obeisances in front of the deities. We come every week, we come to the temple, every yatra we go to, every festival we go to, we get up early morning and we chant our rounds, finish our 16 rounds. If you get Brahman initiation, then you become so strict about your Gayatri. Hey, 6 o'clock I have to chant Gayatri, 12 o'clock afternoon I have to chant, 6 o'clock evening I have to chant, sharp, you know, on the dot. And as years pass by, Radhanath Swami was mentioning that you enter the door and you go like a robot. You offer, you get up like this, then you walk towards here, you offer obeisances like a robo, and you come and sit down over here. You actually forget what you are doing and why you are doing, right? First we used to say the whole mantra, Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha, Patita Nam Pavane Vyo, Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namo. Then slowly we just say, Hari Bol, Vancha Kalpa, Vancha Kalpa. And then it just, in foreign countries, it's all, Hari Bol, Vancha, Vancha, you know, still shorter. And then we heard recently that they just do, we, shorter, shorter, you know. What can be even shorter? In In fact, I always, whenever I think of ritualism, I think of myself only. Because one time, I thought I, you know, what a blunder I made of myself. In our hospital, in the center of the hospital, we have a beautiful Prabhupada deity. So whenever we enter the hospital, we offer obeisances like this. Prabhupada is there and we offer. And then we go to whichever department we have to go. So one day I went and I offered obeisances. And our Haripath Prabhu and some other devotees were at the reception. So I just smiled at them and I went. And they were all laughing at me. So I said, why are they laughing at me today, you know? So I went up, I just offered obeisances. Went there and said, Haribol, kyun hans rahe? So they said, Mataji, there is no Prabhupada only over there. They had taken Prabhupada inside for making his clothes or stitching his clothes. But I was so ritualistically habituated, I just entered the hospital, offered obeisances. I thought Prabhupada was there. That means I never even looked at Prabhupada, you know. I just offered and I looked here and there where I had to go. And I said, oh my God, I'm exposed. I was feeling so horrible, you know, that this is what I said, it is good, you know, that this is what I am. Let devotees know what I am. So it is so funny. Most of us do like that. So if we try to analyze the whole thing, that do we need to do rituals? If it is all just so funny about it and everything, do we need to do rituals? Yes, we do need to do rituals. Why? We'll give you five reasons why you need to do rituals. One is to ingrain the importance of a particular activity in our minds, right? If it was not told to you, you have to chant your 16 rounds every day. It's a ritual, but it's a sacred ritual. If it was not told to do to you, what would happen? You would not take it seriously. So to ingrain its importance, you have to do that ritual. Second is to create healthy habits, right? Because we have to get into good habits. Habits make culture. Culture makes character. So if you want to have a good character, good culture, you have to have healthy habits. So these rituals are necessary. Also, it makes us responsible and accountable for what we are doing. If we didn't have any commitment, then would we do? Today I do 5 rounds, tomorrow I do 8 rounds, then I do 10 rounds. Why be ritualistic here? 16 rubber stamp. Any number, you know, whatever my heart feels, I'll do that. No, it's a ritual, but I have to do it. Why? Because it makes me responsible and accountable. I have promised my guru, I have promised Krishna that I will do it, so I will do it. Also, it gives a pattern and schedule to our life. Otherwise, every day would be completely unplanned. Anytime we'll end up doing anything, we eat when we want to eat, we sleep when we want to sleep. We do things if we feel like, if and when we feel like. We don't do things if and when we don't feel like. So there is no pattern to our life. So even these rituals, they give pattern to our life. And most important is that these sacred rituals, they help us to overcome the tendencies of our mind. What mind? Mind does not like bondage. Why get bound, you know? Free. I'll do it if I like it. Don't tell me to do or don't tell me not to do. Don't bind me by anything. So this is the trend in the modern generation. What is the hallmark of modern generation? It disregards all these unnecessary bondages. I don't like to do it, you know. Why should I do it? Parents will say, better do this. Why? This one says, do this. Why? Why is the most common thing, you know. Nobody says yes, you know. When Dasharatha told, when Kaikai told Ram, you have to go to the forest, did Ram say why? Did he say why? He said yes. He didn't even ask a single, he didn't even ask for an explanation. He was told, you do it? Yes, I will go and do. When Yudhishthir was told something by Kunti, he said why? Did he say? No, he just did it because that was our culture. But today's culture is the why culture. Why? First question, why? Will you come for Chetna? Why? What benefit I will get? You want to take initiation? Why? Will you chant? Why? Everything, why, you know? Can you eat this sabji? Why? Arey baba, eat it, it is healthy. Mother is telling you, eat it, you know. But no, why? Why is always there? So most of the people will try to tell you what? They will discourage you by saying, arey yaar, come on, yaar. Ek din nahi kiya to kya ho jata hai? Kuch hota hai? Kuch nahi hota hai. You didn't chant, finish your 16 rounds yesterday. What happened? Still a devotee. You have tilak, you have kanti. People still think you are a devotee. Then what is the problem if you are a devotee or no? Doesn't matter. People think, na, you are a devotee. That is important. So, ek din nahi kiya to kya ho jata hai? Rarely people will appreciate you and tell you that, kamal hai, regulation ki to ekdam pakki hai. Great. They will respect you. Bahar ka nahi khati hai. Great person. People will discourage you, you know. Come on, yaar, be practical, you know. What type of decisions you are taking? Don't do this and do this and forget it, you know. What type of clothes you are wearing? forget here, gel with it, flow with the current, you know, chill out, you know. These words they will keep on telling you. Rarely people will tell you anything like this. Why? Because we are living in a very showy age. It's all externals. Everything is about externals. What is inside doesn't matter. Who cares? Who bothers? But man sees outside and God sees inside. And that is the whole problem which is taking place nowadays. Especially it is affecting our relationships. Don't you think so? In relationships, we always do most of the things with our brain and not with our heart. If we would use our hearts more, there would be less heartbreaks. You agree? Use the heart more, there will be less heartbreaks. And many of our world problems can be solved. If you have a genuine relationship, meaningful relationship with a friend, okay, where you really love, you are concerned, not only lip service, then will there be heartbreaks amongst friends? A friend will be a friend throughout your life. Not that today you are my friend and what happened here? Today you look away from me. Why? Heartbreak. You are not bothered about it because there was no substance to it. It was like you scratch my back, I scratch your back. Between husband and wife, same thing. If there was little more genuineness, would there be so many divorces? Would there be so many suicides? Would there be so many extramarital affairs, which is plaguing our society so much today? It would not be there because there is no heart involvement in any of the things which we are doing. So if we can, you know, get rid of these heart diseases, which cannot be done by bypass surgeries. We bypass our relationships only, then where's the bypass surgery, you know? We are trying to do like this. So if we can do this, so many of our problems can be solved. Do you all agree? So, and the beginning has to be done by us. Just let us stop even getting attracted by these externals. Because we are attracted by these externals, these people feel that this is good, right? How many people want to become join Bollywood and Hollywood? So many people. Why? Because it is so showy. How many want to people want to become social service, social workers? Nobody. Is there any lines and queues? Yeah, very good. Our friend there, she's putting up her hand, 2-3 of us. Very good, you know. Congratulations, my friends, that you have this desire. And we wish all, we all had that desire to become like that. But there is no showiness in social service. Nobody is going to come and pat you. It's a thankless job, isn't it? If we all remember, today is a very important date. What is today? 9/11. You remember? 9/11, very important date in our history of our world. What happened? WTC, it was bombed. Whenever I think of that, I remember that there was this once one friend and he went, I mean, there was a fire in a building and this friend goes and he was a foolish person, you know, this man. He goes in and everybody was told, just save the people, bring the men out, you know. Building is on fire. So this fellow saved 6 people and brought them out. And when the fire subsided and all, what happened? This fellow was put in prison. So he's saying, "Arey, I saved 6 people. You're putting me in prison." So he said, "You fool, you pulled out all the 6 firemen only. So they could not save other people, you know. At least just use your brains and pull out the right people." He ritualistically, "Jo aaya pakad ke niklo, niklo, niklo." 6 people he pulled out. All the 6 were firemen. So they could not save anybody and most of the people were burnt. Foolishness, right? But these fire people in the WTC fire, the firemen which went inside, if they were doing their service ritualistically, could they risk their lives? Didn't they all know, okay, I am going inside, I may not come out alive. I may save some men, but I may not remain alive. Can you and me do that? Maybe some of you could do. I cannot do that. Because I have selfish attachments. We all have selfish attachments. Okay, no, life is very dear to me, you know. How to do that? And I am not living for others. If we can live for others, then we could do. And we want to make a show of ritualistically caring for others and, you know, loving others. So we want to show, but when the real hour of need is there, it was these fire people, firemen who went out and saved the entire WTC people and pulled them out. Did any of our Bollywood actors, Hollywood actors go there to help? In fact, if they were there, they would run away from there, that who is going to get into this? Why? Because all these people, they simply believe in externals, ritualistic people. But if you put little bit of life into whatever ritual you are doing, meaning into what you are doing, then only, then and then only we can transform every ritual, which is important, into spiritual. So if we take the simple formula, what would it mean? Spiritual minus meaning is equal to ritual. And ritual plus meaning is equal to spiritual. Simple formula, right? You forget the whole lecture, remember this formula. That whatever you are doing, make your lives more meaningful. Not only coming to temple, even in your relationships with your parents, your relationships with your teachers, your friends, your studies, your profession, whatever you are doing, just add little bit of meaning to it. And what will become? You will become a good human being first, devotee afterwards. You will become a good human being. And that is a prerequisite to become a good devotee. That is why first we want to become good human beings. So what is the use of all these mantras, tantras, pujas, yantras and all that which we are doing? If we do not understand the meaning behind what we are doing. I would like to end with a very beautiful story which is there in Krishna book, which explains this very nicely. That one time Krishna, Balaram and his friends, they were all grazing the cows in the forest and they were hungry. So Krishna told his friends that, you know, why don't you go nearby, these Brahmins are doing some yajna. Go and ask them, you know, that Krishna is Balaram is hungry, give some food. So these people went, and like this, our beautiful drama people, they were doing yajnas. So they all were doing yajna, and these friends went and they said that, excuse me, sir, Krishna and Balaram are hungry, you know, give some food. They said, hey, get lost, you kids, you know, let us do our yajnas. Om Krishnaya Nama, Om Vishnuaya Nama, Om Vishnuaya Nama, Om Vishnuaya Nama, whatever they were doing. And these children came back and said, they don't give us food. So they said, okay, now we go to their wives. They are there in the homes and tell them, Krishna and Balaram is hungry. Give them some food. So all these wives, they were preparing all these foodstuffs for their husbands to offer in the yajna for Vishnu. So as soon as these children came and told that Krishna and Balaram is hungry, what the wives did? They packed up all the food that was meant for the yajna and they started giving it to these people. They personally took it and they went to Krishna and Balaram and said, take, take, take. So when the Brahmins saw this, they all just, you know, tube light. They realized that, oh my God, you know, what the hell are we doing? We are doing so many yajnas for so many years. Our wives have never done even one swaha mantra. They have not offered one oblation, nothing they have done. But they could understand that Krishna is hungry, we should give the food to Krishna. And here we are doing whole yajna and all for Krishna, Vishnu. But when Vishnu is hungry, we did not offer to him. How unfortunate could we be? It's like the wife is cooking for the husband. And the doorbell rings. And the wife says, who's it? Are your husband? He's saying, I don't have time, you know, I'm cooking. Are Baba, you're cooking for the husband, you know. You are not opening the door for your husband. If you're working the whole month for your paycheck, and then your boss calls you at the end of the month that, come on, Sita, come and take your paycheck. So you'll say, I have no time, sir, you know. I'm writing my, you know, my accounts and I'm doing this. Say, come on, you know, take the... You're working so hard to get your paycheck, but when the paycheck is given to you, you have no time to take it. That's what everybody is doing today. You are working so that you can enjoy with your family, but there is no time to enjoy with your family because you are so busy working, right? 7 days a week you are working with your family, in your workplace. Why? So that you have money, so that you can enjoy with your family. But you have all the money, you have the family, but you have no time to enjoy with them. So again, it is what? Ritualistic. Take a break. Take a break. And don't forget the purpose for what you are doing. The purpose is you want to spend some time. So do it. So all of us, if we understand what is the purpose and the meaning of my life, it is to develop my love of God, which is there inside me. That is the purpose. And then whatever I do, it has some meaning. But if I just keep doing my rat race, you know, get up in the morning, brush my teeth, take my bath, catch 7:22 train, go to the office, eat my lunch, 1:30 I eat my lunch, 3 o'clock I have a meeting, 5 o'clock I come back to my workplace, till 8 o'clock I'm in the office, 8:22 train I catch, come back home, eat my dinner, watch some TV, go to sleep. Again, next day morning, get up, brush my teeth, take my bath. Oh, then where is the time, you know? What are you doing all these things for? But devotees are very expert people. They know how to change all these things and find time for what is necessary for. Like all of you have done, intelligent people. Whatever you all are doing, you are using your time fruitfully, trying to spend some time of meaningful, putting it to meaningful use, right? So this is intelligence. We say man is very intelligent, man is very intelligent, but for what? To work like a donkey? Then donkey is intelligent, not man. But man is intelligent. Why? Because he knows work when you work, play when you play, worship when you worship. Time has to be divided like that. Otherwise, if you just keep doing one thing, what is the use? We have to set our priorities in life. And if that is not set, everything simply becomes ritualistic. And then Krishna does not get attracted by it. God does not. And you die like that and then you take another life. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatharesh. Cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. This species, that species. You'll go on. If you enjoy that giant wheel ride, keep doing that. But if you want to get out of it, then stop. Stop and think, you know. Am I going in the right direction? If you have no time to think only, then yeah, I'm running to catch the train. Any train, get into it. Are bhai, where are you going? I don't know. Let me catch the train. Are bhai, which train? This side or that? I don't know. Move. Let me get into the train. Are bhai, stop, yaar. Think, no. Where you want to go? Otherwise, you'll get into a train. 2 hours in the opposite direction you will go. Instead of this direction and that much. What is lost in that time and energy? You're losing your precious human birth in all this. You have got a human birth. We don't know next lives we will get human birth or no. We don't know what we will be. Now is the time. Which is the best time? Which is the best time? Now.
Now.
So let us stop for a minute. Can we stop for a minute and just think that now is the time. Okay, so now what am I supposed to do? Okay, this is what we are told. Let me take out time for all these things. And beautifully, Srila Prabhupada has taught us this science, isn't it? We owe our lives to him because life was routinely, ritualistically going on till this person came in our lives, right? And he made us stop. Stop and think about it. That is why I remember always this example that one time there was a mechanic and he was repairing his car and opposite a doctor came. His car was there. And what this person told him? Hi, sir, stop, you know. He's saying, I have a question for you. So doctor said, yes. He's saying, look, sir, you are also operating on a machine. I am also operating on a machine. But you get so much money for operating on the machine. And I don't get anything. You earn lakhs of rupees and I'm a mechanically. You are operating on machine, I'm operating on machine. Why you get more money than I get? So he said, listen, why? Because I'm operating on the machine while the machine is on. The heart is on, na? And still I'm operating on it. And you are operating when the car is stopped. You're not operating on a running car. So that is what Prabhupada did. When all of us were on full speed going towards Maya, Prabhupada stopped us. And he taught us this. How to transform our passion into compassion. Our ritual into spiritual. All these formulas he gave it to us. Isn't it? And our lives have become better. And we know that it is only to these things that God responds. If the child is crying, ritualistically, will the mother go to it? Mother will say, go on, you know. I'm not even. I'm like, loudly the child cries and the mother, hey, what happened? Let me go to the child, you know. Mother will come running. Would Krishna would have come if Gajendra would have said, oh, Krishna, my leg, you know. Can you come and help me, you know, by the way? If you have time, can you come? Would Krishna would have come running? Because he was helplessly crying out to Krishna. That's why he came and cut off the head of the crocodile, isn't it? Would Krishna would have come if Draupadi was, you know, like, it's okay, you know. Krishna, where are you? Do you get my message? Would you like to come? It's okay if you come today, tomorrow. No, she desperately cried out. That is why Krishna came over there. Prahlad. Why did Narsingdev come to save Prahlad? Because all these people enthusiastically and eagerly, they knew how to access the mercy of the Lord. Isn't it? They cried out so intensely that they could access this. So, we would just like to thank Srila Prabhupada for bringing this transformation. As we always like to remember, that Prabhupada always said that this world, hundreds of seminars and hundreds of programs will be there, hundreds of books will be there where they will keep on giving you information, 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 no transformation. But let us learn this transformation of how to do this and make our lives more sacred. And why we need programs like this? Because holy association, they remind us when we slip off, have slips here and there, and when we become ritualistic, you know, they will stop us and remind us. These friends, they will say, excuse me, you know, you are becoming ritualistic. Let us help each other to become little more spiritual. So we'd like to thank all of you. Because it's already quite late, we started late. But thank you. But we can help to remind each other like this by how to not remain mechanical in our life and make our otherwise worthless lives little more meaningful and worthwhile. Do you all agree? Yes. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.